wanted to start by asking you to tell me a little bit about what QComp is and the alternative compensation plan that's being used in your school. Just if you could describe that a little.
The Crescent Holka School District has been a part of teacher alternate compensation programming for, gosh, quite a number of years now. We're in our second, actually this would be going into our third year under the QComp version. Prior to that, we were a part of a pilot program in the state, 4 years that we were involved with that. What we currently do within our district has evolved over that period of time. And I think one of the things that we've proven is that this is, it's a hugely complex process and one that you don't enter into lightly. And it requires a tremendous amount of trust between teachers and school officials, administrators, and probably to some extent the community too. Our program, what we currently have today, has evolved over time. It started out, it was a heavy focus on the teacher performance. Our earliest versions, this was prior to QComp, and how teachers were paid was largely determined by their formal evaluation. We didn't have a big student achievement component in it. It was all on what is the teacher doing. Over time, it's evolved from focusing on the individual teacher more on, it shifted from that toward the teaching practice, teachers coming together, collaborating to improve what they do as teachers, and to inform what we do on the teacher learning side of things. And in the collaborative environment, we rely heavily on student achievement data and focusing on student needs. That's what really drives things. And that's been, I think, a real positive outcome of the work that we've done over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's really helped to focus the conversation in terms of teacher learning, teachers deprivatizing their practice, coming out of their classrooms, coming together, and looking at student needs. And the whole achievement piece, the data, this is the good side of the data.
Yeah. So is there a bad side that you're alluding to there, too?
I guess if we try to reduce what we do in schools down to quantify that with hard numbers, that's a very difficult thing to do. Our earliest versions, when it was focused on the teacher performance, heavily on teacher performance, what is good teaching? There's a lot of subjectivity into that, involved with that. And it takes a long time, I think, to come to common understandings. You can throw that at people. But I believe to build those common understandings of those types of things and in the common sets of values, it has to come through experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time to do that. And
mm-hmm.
and I think we've proven that to be the case. Because over the years, you know, it's been over 6 years now with QComp and then back to the earliest versions of alternate pay. Easily the whole thing could have come to an end where one side or the other, because it's always been set up that from the teachers association side, they could opt out of this through the negotiations process. They could, the way it's been set up, if one mm-hmm. side or the other chooses to step away from it, they could. But we've worked together over time to address all of the challenges and concerns, coming to consensus on what's going to be best for kids, but then also, you know, on the union side of things, what's going to be best for our teachers, too. We're talking about some pretty radical changes in the way we do business, so there's always going to be stress involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
And the learning curve involved with things and, well, I don't know, implementation dip that occur. I mean, my gosh, we've been there. We've been at one point or another, we probably were close to being at rock bottom, and some people were thinking that, no, this just isn't going to work. But with good faith efforts on both sides, we've been able to address concerns and been able to move forward. And what we have now is connected with the state's new version, and the Governor Pawlenty brought forward this QComp, actually from our perspective in La Crescent. I certainly can't speak for other school districts, but we're a part of the QComp network of schools, and know, it's a building principle. I don't know, somehow I've ended up being involved in this a little bit more than maybe the average principal in other school districts have. I'm certainly not going to speak for other schools, but Minnesota's version of QComp has evolved too, from my perspective. The Department of Ed has been, and the QComp people there have been very reasonable, and they have listened. Yet what works in one district isn't going to, it's not a one-size-fits-all with learning for students, and it's
right,
not a one-size-fits-all for school districts. And we have had some nice flexibility without compromising the basic principles of what the state has set out there for the QComp requirements to develop our localized version of it.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have stuck, if it would have been very rigid to that that TAP model, I don't think it would have been reasonable for us to accomplish along those lines.
Yeah.
But we've set up our own version within QComp, following the basic rubrics and guidelines laid out in QComp, but we've localized it. There is the component of teacher evaluation. We also have integrated peer evaluations. Teachers still do the formal evaluations with their building administrator, but they also have options to do peer work.
Okay.
We have the student achievement piece. It's a part of this. It's not a huge part of it, but it's there. Within the QComp model, there's professional development framework and expectations for teacher professional development. And I believe one of the strongest elements in the whole QComp, and from an instructional leadership perspective, I believe this is the professional development perspective that it brings. And it's focused on teacher collaboration, providing time for teachers in their workday to come together to look at student work, to make real-time decisions about what's going on in classrooms, looking at common assessments, and planning and adjusting instruction. And I'm listening to teachers right now that are 30-plus. In fact, I just had a discussion with a 30-plus-year teacher yesterday who's one of our facilitators of our teacher teams, professional learning communities, telling me that this is the best thing that's happened. She's not speaking about QComp per se, but the collaborative environment that we've put together. She's saying this is the best thing that's happened in all of her years of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Folks truly see the potential to make significant improvements that are going to be sustainable and have value for the long term. From that perspective, it's been a great, great thing. There's a dark side to this that I don't think I will ever agree with. If it is completely focused on a student test score, and if it were to be completely focused on that teacher performance, it will do much more harm than good. Teachers will be afraid to take risks. It'll promote teaching to the test. We do too much of that already.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have teachers sharing at an extremely high level. But if it were, I see the potential for it to create it could have, in fact, in the very first version that we had, it could have created a competitive environment that would
mm-hmm.
have really undermined our ability to do what we're doing right now. What I want to see is teachers coming together, what we are doing right now. And I don't want them to be afraid of failure. That's life. That's the way we learn. But if we're failing and we're not doing anything about it, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to hold our teachers and myself accountable for that. We are motivated, at least in La Crescent, Minnesota, in our school district. The motivation is very high, and it's really not the money on the student achievement side of this thing that's driving people. We're working within the system. We've tried to deflect the focus on that as much as possible. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The bonus that teachers get, and we've got the plan, it's kind of a cafeteria plan where teachers can count certain components of this towards salary advancements. But one of them is each site reaching their achievement goal that they set. So we set our goal. We've got a huge action plan for what we're doing to improve student learning and writing. And at the end of the year, then in, you know, we're looking closely at a variety of data to set our goal. And if we make it, the teachers receive a bonus. It's not a huge bonus, but then they also can count it for a career advancement movement. Teachers get rewarded for doing what good teachers do, and they can advance through it very quickly, much quicker than we used to have a 30-step schedule.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think it would take to expand the program to more schools in Minnesota and possibly even to a much larger variety of schools nationwide?
If somebody's entering into this thinking that it's going to cost less money, I think that's a false assumption. In order to expand this, we would have to have the adequate financial resources to do that. If it had not been for the additional money that we qualified for as being a QComp school, there's no way that we could have put together the system that we have in place now in our school district. So it would require the time and resources to do it. And it's not something, again, as I said, to just for a school district to sit down and say, okay, we're going to be in this next year or even the following year. You know, and every situation is different, but I would say by and large, it's a process that takes time for people to understand, develop, and you kind of have to grow into it too.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is that I think the greatest benefit, though, has been the deprivatization of the teaching practice from this.
Mm-hmm.
The way we've structured it, telling teachers it's okay to take risks. The main thing is we're looking at student learning. Things are so much more focused now on student needs and student learning than they once were in my earlier years of teaching. I think that's the most exciting thing about it. Well, on the whole motivation side of things for teachers, we had had that our student achievement piece that we have, and the goal and the teacher bonus and the rung movement. Teachers are very cautious about, okay, where are we setting that? Where are we setting the bar this year to determine whether or not we've met our goal?
Yeah,
I've tried to keep that as honestly care how high that bar is set, because what I believe and what we've seen to be true is that you just come together, you're looking at student learning, you're making decisions based upon student needs, you're doing the right things, you're putting together effective plans for improvement, and good things are going to happen. It's taken a lot of trust. I believe that to be true. At first, teachers were, okay, I hope you know what you're talking about. And my butt's out there big time in terms of credibility with the teachers in my building. I think I'm probably more worried about whether or not we hit our growth target than they are even, because I'm worried about what they're going to think of me. And when we're talking, we're meeting, and again, they're coming clean. They're saying, I said, you know, folks, the bonus is not a huge sum of money. It's not going to make or break them. It's one component that they could count for their ladder movement, their career movement. There's other things where they could compensate for that where it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And they look me straight in the eye and they say, no, it is not. That's not the money. It's not the money. Not, and I believe that to be true for all of them. It's not the money. It's their pride and the perception, what the public perception would be if it would get out there that we didn't hit our goal. The whole dark side, again, to leave you with this, is if it takes us to a place where all we're doing is teaching to the test, and what we're testing, what's being tested right now, kids need so much more. We're teaching a lot of knowledge. If we don't get at some of these other 21st century skills and do a better job of integrating that into what we do, I'm fearful where public education is going to be in this country, and more importantly, where this country will be. I think we've got a system in place that we can get at those 21st century skills.
Yeah.
We get smart about teaching what we have to do to play the No Child Left Behind game and get efficient, and then get at the other things that matter as much or more.